The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, a covenant that they broke. This is the covenant that I will make. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. A portion of our reading from Jeremiah this morning. In the old days of the Old Testament, the God of Israel made many a bargain with the people of God. And this God of the Old Testament certainly might continue to be the God that you and I at times fear, called a jealous God, a wrathful God, a fearful God, a powerful God who would drop the walls of an entire city to defend the people of God. But even then when bargains were made and broken, when prophets were ignored and kings were unfaithful, even then this God of ancient days speaks of the new day in which you and I are living now through the prophet Jeremiah. The new day in which we will truly thrive as faithful children of God. Through the voice of Jeremiah, God speaks of the gift that you and I know of, which is mediated, which is brought to us through the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. This ancient promise is fulfilled. Listen to this piece. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You and I have lived our entire lives with the knowledge of this promise. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Sometimes in our lives, we look at one another and we ask, what is this thing that God is doing? How is it that God has allowed this or that to happen? We see our changing world perhaps in the context of disappointments or failure, losses or pain, lack of security, and we wonder, where is God in the midst of all of this? And we often, myself included, fail to seek God where God most certainly can be found. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. Indeed, you and I are the people of God. We gather this day and each week as we are able, and yet we are still longing to know the depth of this promise, to know the presence of God, to be sustained by the faith that we wish to bear into our world. The message of Jeremiah, alongside the parable of our gospel lesson, remind us that it is primarily through our own single, unique relationship with and understanding of God that God will be present to help and to sustain us. And still, it remains difficult for us to know God's presence and God's sustaining power. Well, of course it does. We are humans, merely human. And we are often overwhelmed by the changes and chances of this world which push and prod us in ways that we cannot resist. For the love of our children, for the love of family and community, for the longing for God, for the need to be secure, for the simple need to be fed and nurtured as every child of God deserves. For all of these reasons and many more, we become overwhelmed in our world. And our gospel lesson today gives us a message from Jesus through this simple parable of how our faith might sustain us through an act called persistence. This is a parable known as the unjust judge. And the conclusion of this parable is that even someone who's not necessarily fair or just or good or kind will end up responding when the other person is persistent in seeking a response. God asks us to be persistent. I was wondering if this is the same as the squeaky wheel getting the grease. Or is this also the same as that Old Testament story where the neighbor knocks on the door in the middle of the night to ask for a loaf of bread? And the sleeping neighbor does not want to get up out of bed and give that neighbor any bread. But she will do so, because if she doesn't, the knocking will not stop. Persistence. Persistence with supplication and prayer, alongside the truth that God is no further away than our own hearts. Let us learn to storm the gates of our own hearts. Today's a special day in the life of St. Paul's, and I see many faces here that I saw a few moments ago in the parish hall, where for that brief 60 minutes we celebrate our ministry fair. And this fair represents the many opportunities that you and I have to find ways to feed our hearts by connection with God, through relationship with one another, through service, through learning and inquiry. Today's event is also what we call the time and talent portion of our stewardship year. You may have received, or you should have received in the mail, a card asking you about pledging some time or talent to the community of faith here. There are nearly 2,000 of us now, and we're encouraging each and every one of you to find your place in this community of faith. And through the words of Jeremiah and the words of Jesus, to find a place where you can spend some time in some way that touches and feeds your heart, which is the place where God resides and will speak to you. Don't give your time and talents, please, out of guilt or from thinking you are the only one who will do it, or out of pressure from others. We all like to do different things, and if it does not feed you any more to polish the silver or play the bells or mow the lawn or lock up on Sunday afternoon or monitor children in the chapel or meet with a particular group or committee, then make a change. Make a change now. Don't stay in the same ministry or service from year to year if you have fulfilled or learned what you came there to learn or fulfill. I urge you to find a way to connect here at St. Paul's that does feed your heart and soul, for this is where God is speaking to you. This is where God is opening a way for you to be fed or nurtured. In fact, it might be that solace for coming here on Saturday and mowing the lawn or polishing the silver or arranging the flowers. It may be in a little more chaotic venue like Children's Chapel, if it brings you joy to share the insights, laughter, and mishaps of children through teaching or singing or telling stories. It may be more focused in an earnest way if you like to count money or crunch numbers or keep records. Or in quiet if you like to meditate and pray with others, or in community through small groups, like four-year groups, coffee talk, book club, the Julian gathering. These are other opportunities to get to know other people in the parish and to share parts of your life. Really, there are countless opportunities here at St. Paul's to connect, not only with community, but with your, in doing so, with your own heart. And if you cannot find a place for yourself, please talk to a member of the staff and let us help facilitate your connections here. One time of encouragement and feeding for my own heart is often when I hear Bishop Curry preach, and I know some of you feel that way as well. And I want to share with you a part of his message from the Eucharist that we had with all the clergy of the diocese on Wednesday night. I believe his message, though specifically directed to us and in light of the speaker we had this week, I believe this applies to every one of us here sitting in the pew. I won't say it exactly the way he said it, but I mean it with the same fervor. Bishop Curry said, "Just because you are a member of the church does not mean you are just a member of a 501(c), a nonprofit organization. It does not mean that you are simply part of an ancient institution. It also does not mean you are part of an organization designed to entertain you and others and their children. And you are not here to come and get every one of your needs met on Sunday morning so that you can make it through the week. Though some of these reasons are true and may apply to us at times, the underlying truth of our relationship with St. Paul's Episcopal Church, with the Episcopal Diocese of North Carolina, and with the Episcopal Church in the United States of America, the underlying truth is that you and I are part of a movement. When God said through the words of Jeremiah, "I will write it on their hearts, I will be their God, and they will be my people," God was actually not asking us to sign up for something. And when Jesus told us the story of the unjust judge and encouraged us to be persistent in asking and seeking, it was not just so that we could build beautiful buildings like this. Neither God nor Jesus or the Holy Spirit have asked us to make sure that the church is alive and well-being place. Rather, the invitation from God our Creator and Jesus our Redeemer is to connect with our own heart and soul in the very place where God has promised to be present. And truly, when we are able to do so, our lives and the lives of all of those around us and our world will be transformed by the living power of God with us. We are members of the movement of disciples following Jesus Christ. This is the covenant that I will make. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The world that you and I live in does not know how to help us connect with our own hearts. Our families and all of our relationships and our jobs are more likely to pull us away from our own hearts than settle us in to the quiet and truth of God within. That is not always a bad thing, because love and service for others do teach us about ourselves and how to honor all of God's children. But object service is simply not our purpose as children of the living God. It is only the sideshow. Turn your hearts. The place where God speaks, where God has written the law of God within you, where God has forgiven every iniquity, where God is calling us to participate in the movement of God's Spirit, which is transforming each of us and transforming our world. Amen.